All right. Well, today we are continuing to talk about the series, the Sunday Service. Sunday Service. And just to give you you all some time to get to the scripture, we're gonna be doing a lot of jumping around with scriptures, but it's always good to have an anchor text. So it will be coming from the book of Revelation. Revelation. If you don't know where that is, if you look in your Bibles, there is a table of contents. Just like most books, there is a table of contents that tells you Old and New Testament. And in that New Testament section, it is the last book. It is called Revelation. And when you get there, go to that page number. But if you are familiar with reading your Bible, you know where it is. It's at the very end. And in the meantime, while you turn there, we're going to go through the service, the sermons that we've preached, that we've had here. One is, we started with the Sunday service with praise and worship. That was the first one. And when we asked the question, why start with praise and worship? Why do we start with that? And the answer that we came up with was not to seek him, but to meet him. None of you are looking for me because I'm right here. You don't have to find me. And that's the way that we were trying to explain with God. You don't have to come here to find God because he's already here. You just come to meet him. And so we tried to leave with this thought. If you seek him, you will find him. But when praise and worship is done right, you don't have to find him. Then we move forward with prayer. And then the question that was brought up was, why do we have to pray together? Why in this altar call period do we get up here and join hands? Why at the end are we all praying for the people that are praying, that need prayer? And the answer is because God may move differently here. Of course, God works in all the world, but there's something special about the house of God, among the people of God, where God moves a little different. And then we tried to leave with this thought that prayer is not all about you. So let's pray his way, that he will have his way. Then we moved forward with the announcements. And the question that we asked with the announcements was, why do we even have them? Why do we even have these announcements? And the answer that we came up with was because the church is more than the Sunday service. And I tried to further explain that by saying Jesus did not die and rise just to change 1.5 hours of your week. And so I tried to encourage you all to believe and to remember that you are more than a Sunday member. Then we move forward with the offering period. And the question was, why should you give a regular offering, not just a one-time, you know, once a year, twice a year type of thing, but why should you give a regular offering? And the answer that we came up with was because God rewards it. And then we tried to leave with this thought, said, just try it. Just try it. His promise is unbeatable. And this is the best deal that I have ever heard in my life, better than any Black Friday deal on Amazon. It says 100% satisfaction guarantee and your money back. That is what God promises in his word. 100% satisfaction guaranteed and your money back. Then we moved on to a sermon. We had a sermon on sermons. And some of y'all remember there was a whole mirror out here and I was getting massages and all of that. And the question was, how should we respond to sermons? And so the answer that we came up with was, do what God told you. Do what God told you. And I tried to remind yourselves or encourage you, don't lie to yourselves. Okay, a sermon is a message. not a massage. And then last week we talked about the call to discipleship, the period right after this. And the question, we had a few questions. One was, why do we do a call to salvation and the call to discipleship? And it's because discipleship starts with salvation. And then we said, okay, well then the second part of that is membership. Why do we do a call to membership and the call to discipleship? And the answer was because discipleship requires growth. And then that third part, why do we do a call to prayer and the call to discipleship? And the answer that we came up with was because discipleship requires Jesus' help. And then I tried to leave with this thought, that Jesus said to make disciples of everybody, not just pastors. And I tried to leave with this, we're all called to discipleship, to call all to discipleship. And so today, again, we will be jumping around, but we are coming to the last part of our Sunday service, the last part of our typical Sunday service, and that will be found in the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter and the 21st verse. Again, if you don't know where it is, I'm asking that you would turn to the table of contents, go to the New Testament section. It says Old Testament, then New Testament. And then on the New Testament section, in those table of contents, look at the end. It is going to be the book of Revelation. Once you see that, then you are going to turn to that page number, Revelation. Once you get there, your Bible is divided in chapters. It may say the big number 1, 2, 3, or it may be, say, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. I'm going to ask you to turn to chapter 22. Chapter 22, and then those little numbers are verses, verse 21. If you are not there right now, it is okay. I'm trying to keep all of our scriptures on the screen. Again, I will be scripture jumping today. But some of you will notice when you pick up your Bibles, something that the screen doesn't tell you, which is that this is the last verse in the entire Bible. This is the last verse in the entire Bible. So again, I'm going to go ahead and read out of the Christian Standard Bible version. You will find similar words printed in your text. The book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter, the 21st verse. It reads as follows. It says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with everyone." And the church said, amen. The title of today's sermon is about the benediction. We're talking about the benediction. Now, some of us had some big problems with the experiment that I did. Just to catch some of us who may not know, for the last two Sundays, I removed the benediction from the church service. I removed it. The first time, I did not give as much of a warning. The second time, I tried to warn everybody multiple times, because, you know, the first one really left people bothered. Some of us were feeling like something was truly missing from the service. Some of us left with a bad taste in our mouths, and a couple of you actually voiced it to me, but what I've learned is that when one of you is talking, that means there's nine of you that are not talking that believe the same thing. So I know that taking benediction out of service was was shocking. And my response to you is good. Good. I'm glad that you felt uneasy about this. I'm glad that removing benediction made you, it did something to you. I'm glad that it did. I'm glad that you felt a type of a way about it. And even last week, even with the warning, even with that, even though we ended with, you know, the musicians, you know, rendering, you know, their selection, and we just ended on music that time. And some people actually enjoyed the fact that we ended on music. I'm glad that you felt strange that the benediction was missing. And today, what I'm going to try to do is explain why. I want to explain why it is so important, St. John, for us to have this benediction at the end of service. I want to do my best to explain why we can't just end the service after I'm done talking. Like I had shared with you last week, that my wife and I had gone to another church, and after the sermon, that was it. They dismissed us. The end. I want to explain why that feels wrong in your hearts. So today, we will be talking about the benediction. But before we start talking about benediction, some of us may say, you know, Pastor, that's a $20 word, and I ain't got $20. What in the world is a benediction? What is it? Well, benediction is, you know, kind of a two-part word. There's Latin. It comes from a Latin root. Bene means well, okay? And diction is that word, is a word or a speech. It comes from the verb dicere in Latin, which means to say. So benediction is like a good word. In fact, let me use another Christianese word we like to have. It's what you can liken a benediction to, a blessing. Okay, so the benediction is essentially like a blessing. We want to say something good. Okay, we want to say we want to have a good word when we say it. Okay, now, did you know that almost everyone alive does this? Did y'all know that? We do this now. We do benedictions now outside of church. In fact, it's a whole lot of people that are not Christians. As a matter of fact, there's people that are atheists, Muslims, Buddhists. They're doing benedictions, and they don't even know it. Did you know that? What you mean? How many people in here have ever said the word goodbye? By a show of hands, have you ever said the word goodbye? All right, most of us, amen. Did you know the root of the word goodbye? Goodbye is actually a contraction of words. Goodbye comes from the Old English goodbye, which actually means God be with you. That's why you have the good, the God, right? Be, W with, and then ye. You know, now we say you. That's actually what goodbye means. God be with you. Another one, if for some of us that use this word, is farewell. Farewell means actually farewell. May you fare, you know, travel, journey, go someplace. may you fare well. And then when these words originated in English, they were said because we didn't actually know when we would see somebody again. So if we just wanted to make sure that God be with them and that they would fare well in their journey. Did y'all know that? All right. Everybody ready to learn some Spanish today? There we go. See, some of us know Spanish. Amen. Do you know what the Spanish word for goodbye is? Let's say it on three. One, two, three. Adios. Amen. We learn the Spanish up in church. Amen. Whole church speaking Spanish. Amen. See, do you know what adios means? It is itself another contraction of words. Adios, to Dios, God. That's actually what it means. When it first came into existence, the phrase was, I commend you to God, or go to God, you know, adios se vaya, you know, go to God, okay? So we contracted it, and so every time you're saying adios, you're saying to God. These are all technically benedictions. These are all technically benedictions. And now benedictions, I want to be clear, they're not always said at the end of a conversation. But because you can say benedictions in the middle of conversations too. You'll see that in scripture as well. But obviously we want these benedictions at the end. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're atheist or Muslim or Hindu, you want a benediction at the end of a conversation. Isn't that interesting? So now, let's look at what Scripture does with benedictions. Perhaps one of the most famous benedictions that us ministers like to use from the King James Version comes from the book of Jude, the 24th and the 25th verse, which says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever." And the church would say, amen. Coming back to the Christian Standard Bible Version, the longest one that I could find was in the book of Romans, verse 16, verses 25 through 27. Sorry, Bible readers, Bible study readers, we'll get to this in a minute, but verse 25, it says, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the proclamation about Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept silent for long ages, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic scriptures, according to the command of the eternal God, to advance the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever." And if I could memorize that every Sunday, everyone would say, amen. But then there are, again, shorter ones. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, it says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." If you want an even shorter one, 3 John verse 15 says, "Peace to you." Did y'all realize that when you tell people peace, that's a benediction? You're saying something good. You know, you're wishing them peace. Y'all see that? You know, if you're part of my generation, some of us will say deuces. You know, if you don't get it, it's because we say peace with two fingers and two deuce. Okay, deuces. 3 John 15, deuces to you. The friends send you greetings. Greet the friends by name. And then the one that I personally like, the one that we that has been repeated in Scripture multiple times and with a slight tweaking of words, and also the one that ends the entire Bible is from Revelation, the 22nd chapter, the 21st verse, which says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with everyone." And to that and the entire Bible, the church would say, amen. Now, some of us like to be real technical Christians. And some of us technical Christians would say, well, isn't the idea of benedictions kind of fake? I mean, don't, you know, benedictions really exist for our spiritual insecurities. What do you mean? What do you mean? One of us technical Christians would say, well, if we look in the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 3rd through 10th verse, doesn't Jesus Christ himself say that blessed are the poor in spirit? For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. So again, a technical Christian would say, you already blessed. If you already blessed, why do you need another blessing? You already blessed. You're already a Christian. You already trust in Jesus Christ. Why do you need another blessing? This is what the technical Christian would say. So those of you that feel some type of way about leaving the service because they didn't say the blessing the way you wanted it, now you all upset, but you already blessed. So why are you going against what Jesus said? If he said you're blessed, why are you acting like you're not blessed? Says the technical Christian. Now, what I would do to answer this technical Christian is to point them to Psalm 103, verse 1, actually, it should say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." My question to that technical Christian would be this: why are we blessing the Lord? He's the most blessed person I know. Why are we doing it if we're not supposed to bless people that's already blessed? Why are we blessing the Lord? Why are we emphasizing it by saying, bless his holy name? I would then point them again to Ephesians 1:3, which says, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here we go again, blessing the Father. "Blessed is he who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ." So not only in this verse are we blessing our God and Father, but we're also acknowledging that God blesses people who were already blessed. Why is God continuing to bless us if that one blessing of knowing Jesus Christ and trusting in him is enough? So see, this is what I'm saying is sometimes these technical Christians make the way hard for people. Sometimes we try to get so intellectual and so smart and because we got some education and we're making it hard for people to come to Christ and to rest in his peace and rest in his love and rest in the security. We make it hard for them. Look, just keep it simple, y'all. It's okay to bless the blessed.
It's okay to do it. It's okay to have benediction and to bless y'all who are already blessed in more ways than one. It's okay to bless you. Stop ridiculing people because of their perceived lack of faith. Stop ridiculing people because you're so much spiritually smarter than them, quote unquote. Stop doing that. It's okay to bless the blessed. So we do have benediction, and yes, in benediction, we are blessing you who are already blessed. But also something to consider in the benediction is that Christians speak on behalf of God. Did you know that? 2 Corinthians 5th chapter 20th verse, it says, therefore, this is Paul talking to the church in Corinth, he says, therefore, we are ambassadors. Everybody say ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ since, God is making his appeal through us. But if you want some more emphasis, keep reading. It says, we plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Now, for those of us that may not be familiar with what an ambassador does, an ambassador is someone, let's say, from the United States of America, who lives in a section of another country. And their job in living in that section of another country is to speak on behalf of the country. As Christians, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are part of a different kingdom. Yes, we are Americans. Yes, we are citizens of the United States of America. Or if we're not citizens, maybe some of us are green card holders. And if we're not green card holders, some of us are visiting in the United States of America. But when you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you belong to a different kingdom. So we're here in America speaking on behalf of the kingdom of God. We speak on behalf of not only the kingdom, but the king of the kingdom, God himself. We speak on behalf of God. So therefore, when we are following the Spirit, when we are listening to what God tells us to do, we actually will hear what God wants us to say, and then we will say what God wants us to say. That is literally my job right now as I am speaking, is for me not to come with my own opinions, not for my own desires, not on my own agenda, but for me to preach this and this alone. All I do is look in here and then tell you what God told me to tell you. And that is what God has us here to do. And guess what, Christians? You do the same thing. You are here to speak to others on behalf of God. Now, here's the other thing about being an ambassador. Is that not only are you the representative of God, not only do you have the authority to speak on behalf of the kingdom to another country, but there is also the assumption that you speak on behalf of the country. What am I saying? Not only do you have the authority to speak on behalf of God, but also people assume, just because you're Christian, people assume that you speak on behalf of God. That's why we need to watch our mouths. That's why we need to be careful in what we say to people. Because when people see us as Christians, like it or not, they see us as representing all Christians. If you have ever been, like I would call it, a pepper in a sea of salt, or a period on a blank page, you would know that when you're the only black person in a room, like it or not, you just happen to represent all black people. I'm sorry, it is what it is. I did not make the rules. I don't like the rules. But if you are the only black person, or if you're the only Mexican person in the room, it just so happens, it's not fair, but it just so happens that you represent all Mexicans. You represent all black people. If you're the only woman in a room full of men, I am so sorry, ladies, but there is an assumption that you represent all women. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's not fair. It's not fair, but it is what it is. I know none of us want the weight of representing all Christians, but I'm sorry, it is what it is. And so when we speak, it ought to be a benediction. It ought to be good. We should be benedictioning, not maledictioning, which is bad speaking, because we represent our God. And not only that, when we bless others, we're not just talking, y'all. Do y'all realize when we bless others, God actually blesses other people? I tried to mention this in my Thanksgiving sermon a while ago, that when you bless the food, you're actually blessing the food. You know, when you ask God to remove the impurities in the food, he might actually be removing the things that might make you sick in the meal that you're about to eat. Why? Because when we bless others, God actually blesses others. Let me keep moving. Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Oh, Lord. But listen to this part. And those who love it will eat its fruits. Do y'all realize that sometimes we are killing ourselves because we keep talking negative to ourselves? Did y'all realize that? This has been proven by scientists and researchers, that when you continue to circulate negative thoughts in your head, when you continue to speak bad about yourself, I'm ugly, I'm fat, I ain't gonna do nothing, I'm broke, I'm not about nothing, nobody's coming to help me, I can't do anything. When you continue to recycle these thoughts, and when you continue to say these things, do you realize that you are actually making yourself sicker? Hello? And some of us who have been in the hospital bed and know what it's like to have to deal with this, know also that when you speak life, that when you speak the blessings of the Lord, that he is with me even until the end of the age, that he will never leave me nor forsake me, that God loves me, that he is good and he saved me, that there is no condemnation that exists in Christ Jesus for those of us that are in Christ Jesus. When we start saying these things over and over, do you realize that actually has benefits for your health? The problem is some of us love negativity. It tastes good to some of us. We like telling ourselves that we're dumb. We like telling ourselves we can't do nothing. We like telling ourselves that there's problems and there's no way to get out of it. We like killing our own hope. We like cutting our own legs off. We like doing it. And that is the effect of sin. And I'm telling you is that what it is doing is killing you. Start speaking life to yourself. Start speaking good to yourself. Start speaking benedictions to yourself. Tell yourself, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord tell you, continue to love you and sustain you and hold you with his right arm. Start telling yourself these things. Do benedictions to yourself. And when you do that, you'll find out that it's easy to do it for others. Because again, it's not just our own self-talk that'll kill us. Some of us are getting used to listening to everybody else's negative self-talk. And we keep hearing all the negative things they say because that's all we really want to hear is how much they hate us, how much they don't like us, how much they're tired of us. And then all it's doing is just feeding our spirit instead of looking at it and saying, look, first of all, I need to surround myself with people that love me, that care for me, that want to speak God's word into my life, that want to lift me up and not tear me down. So what you say matters. Your words have power, y'all. And this is also why in Ephesians 4:29 it says, no foul language should come from your mouth. Ah, Reverend Burks, I should just end the sermon right now. It's over. It's a wrap here, Reverend Tolliver. It's a wrap. No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for doing what? Building up someone in need. But there's a reason. So that, with the result that, with the intention of, so that it gives what? Grace to those who hear. This verse wouldn't make sense if our words had no power. But because our words have power, because benedictions actually mean something, this verse is important. Not only for everybody else's well-being, but also for your own literal health. So then, in the same book, Ephesians, verse 6, it ends with this. In the 23rd through 24th verses, it says, deuces to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who have undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Paul talking to? Who are the apostles speaking to? Whenever they end these letters, they are speaking to the church. And Paul emphasizes it, not just the organization, not just St. John, the 501c3 nonprofit. No, it is St. John, the brothers and sisters. And so, why is that important? Because when we have the benediction, and this is why it's so important, we want to bless our family. This is where I'm trying to get to. We do benedictions because we want to bless our family. Thank God that we are family, because that is only possible through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was hung on Calvary's cross for the remission of sins. And so that by receiving the forgiveness that was paid for, that we would have a right to the tree of life. Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. He was buried, but on the third day, he rose up from the grave. We believe in a living Savior. We believe in a Savior that actively loves us, and we believe in a Savior that continues to bless us. And we are family because the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. And for all of us that are led by the Spirit of God, we can be considered sons and daughters of God. So we're it's because of Jesus we're blessed anyway. But then God continues to bless us on top of that. There's a rapper that talked about blessings on blessings on blessings. That's what it is. We get blessings on blessings on blessings on blessings on blessings. And wouldn't we want that for our family? Wouldn't we want to make sure that, thank God you're blessed, but I just want to see you get blessed more. I just want to make sure that God continues to pour out his blessings upon you. I pray that the cup of blessings overflow, not so that you wouldn't even have room enough to receive it. That's good to hear. But it's not just some mind trick. It's not just some way so for you to feel better. When we pray these things and when we ask God these things and when we declare these things, our words have power. Some of us are living today because people speak well over us, because people pray over us, because people encourage us, and it actually makes a difference when we speak well, when we do a benediction. So understand, this is what we're about. This is why we can't be gossiping. This is why we can't be backbiting. This is why we can't be traitors. This is why we can't curse people out. This is why we shouldn't be cursing at all. This is why we should continue to build people up and not tear people down. That doesn't just go for you talking to everybody else, but that goes for you talking to yourself. Stop entertaining the negativity. Stop feeding into it. Benediction. Good words. That's what we should be doing. Not because of some psychological trick, but because words actually have power. And God has given us all tongues so that we can use them to glorify him among the people. So that the people would glorify him. And so let me end on this. I know. Let me end on this. Look, since we're family, don't leave without saying goodbye. And that's the reason why we have benediction. It's because I don't want to leave. I don't want any of us to leave without saying goodbye. Some of us have been in family gatherings and known what it's like for people to just slip out on us. And you kind of upset. Hello? I mean, you don't even have to be Christian to feel that. Some people feel upset. And why? Most people can't explain it, but this is the reason. It's because we want a benediction when we leave. Not just for the family to tell us goodbye, but for us to tell them goodbye. What does goodbye mean? God be with you. You want God to continue to take care of your family, right? Hello? You want God continue to take care of each person here in St. John, right? This is why we do it. Is because we are family. We don't do this normally in our workplace. Because honestly, the relationship at the workplace isn't really that strong. We don't do this in the grocery store or at the bank or at the DMV. Because for most people, it's a transaction. You get what you need to get, and then you out.
Church is not a place that you just need to check in for 40 hours a week. We only do it for around an hour and a half a week. Church is not a place just for you to do your spiritual transactions. You get what you get, and then I'm out. But some people do that. Some people do that. You know, get to the sermon, and then after the sermon, they gone. But church, we are a family. And family don't leave without saying goodbye.